I'm Linda, and I'm a member of Gammonon, and my husband is a compulsive gambler. And this is our story. This is my family. This is my husband, Mike, and he is unable to be here tonight, so he's here in spirit. I am just going to tell you my story. It started a really long time ago before I even really realized, even knew anything about compulsive gambling. I was a young girl, 15, and I met my love of my life, Mike. And we were high school sweethearts. We dated all the way through high school, had our college aspirations, different colleges. We decided we couldn't do it. We went to college together. And 2 years into college, we got married because we just couldn't be apart. So we finished college, and we started our life together. And in my growing up years, I had a loving family, but I had an alcoholic father who was never dependable. We never had enough money. I never could depend on the one man in my life, and I always vowed to myself that I would meet somebody and marry someone who could take care of me and that I could take care of him. And we would have the dream, have children and have the normal life. Not the perfect, but the normal life. Because I never felt normal. My entire growing up years, I never felt normal. I had siblings that were a lot older than me, so I never had that normal sibling thing. I had nephews that were my age, so I never had that normal aunt relationship, so many things just were not normal feeling to me. So when Mike and I started our life, we both got jobs right after college, and you would think we would have, you know, enough money, and I never questioned why we didn't. We were always poor, and we were always struggling, and we were always needing to consolidate our debts, and he was in charge of our money, so I never worried about it because I knew that he was taking care of me. And I trusted him with every ounce of my soul. I never doubted him, ever. We were married 7 years, and we had moved into a home, and we had our first little boy, who's not so little here anymore, Tyler, and we just were just the perfect, happy family. Tyler had issues. We didn't know what they were at the time. Later down the road, he was diagnosed with autism, so... he was a difficult baby, but as I've told everybody, Mike is the best baby dad in the entire world. In fact, he's the best dad in the entire world. Mike is. The addict is not, but Mike is by far the best father you'll ever find. 3 years after Tyler was born, we had Kayla, and she was daddy's little girl, always has been, continues to be daddy's little girl. In a completely different way now. But that's kind of when I started noticing changes in Mike. He started having more behavioral things where he would fly off the handle and yell at one of the kids and just have things that were not him. But I just figured, you know, he was getting a little older, grumpy kids, you know, they will do that to you. And 6 months after Kayla was born, he was very insistent that I stay home. Even he knew that that's what I wanted, and I kind of begged for that, too. It's like, I would do anything. I'll cook you a wonderful meal every night. Do anything you want. I just want to stay home with my kids. And so we agreed that we would do that. Looking back on that, I regret that decision very much because we shouldn't have done that. I was home for a couple of years, and this was now July of 1999, and my dad got very ill, and he passed away, and that was very difficult. Mike was continuing to have angry outbursts, and now the kids old enough to recognize this gave Daddy a name, and that name was Mr. Huff. He would blow up, and one time he took one of their riding toys and threw it off the deck because they were fighting over it, and they both just stood there and stared at him like, because that's not something he normally would ever do. Again, the best dad, but he would change just in a flash. And we started living, walking on eggshells. You know, I didn't know if he'd come home and yell because I parked wrong in the garage or whatnot, or if he'd be really happy. I didn't, never know. And so our little boy started kindergarten in the fall of 99, and it was a beautiful October day, and he came home from school. We went to the park. When we came home from the park, my life changed forever. My house was surrounded by police. I stopped the car. I ran in. My husband was on the floor, and I had a gun to his head, and that was how I found out that he had been embezzling from his company. Later told me that he'd stolen some money from his company, and that's what it was. I couldn't even believe it, because up until that moment, I would have argued till the death with anybody to say that my husband is the most admirable, most honest person you will ever meet. And I couldn't believe it. And I had no reason to, I just figured it was my fault because I wanted to stay home so bad. That was the reason. It kind of was mentioned that maybe gambling was an issue for him. I mean, his addiction was not a common addiction. He didn't go to the casino, so he wasn't gone at night. He didn't go to the horse track. He didn't play poker. He could do it right in the comfort of his very own home and computer. He was a day trader, and stocks were his demon. So it kind of was mentioned by me and his attorney and his mom that maybe this trading got out of hand, and he didn't know if it did, so it was suggested that he try GA. And he went one day, and he came home and kind of tossed that coin at me and said, "Look at this. I'm not like those people. I'm not going to go." I mean, and I said, "You have to." He's in the middle of getting close to, you know, being sentenced for this crime, and his attorney's working on everything, and no treatment options ever came up. I never thought that way. He didn't think that way. Nobody thought that way. The courts didn't. His attorney didn't. Nobody. We just kind of thought, well, if he didn't do it anymore, everything would be just fine. He went again to GA, and then he came home, and he's like, "I can't go there. They all go to the casino. I don't do that. I'm not one of them." You know, there was a guy there, he'd even said, "You do what? Oh, yeah, see, I'm not a gambler." And in my profession, I knew better. And if it was a client of mine, I would have gotten their ticket right away. I would have known. But with him, I trusted him. The trust was still there, and I just did. And so all that could have happened with him didn't happen. He had a really good attorney, and to this day, I'm kind of wishing he didn't. He pretty much got off with a slap on the hand. Spent a couple days in jail, a little bit of probation. They let him off of that, pretty much free and clear. His parents financially bailed him out with restitution, so we could start our life over. We went to, you know, we filed bankruptcy, all of our debts. We were free and clear, and we could start our life over. And we did. And so for the next few years, we just had the best happy life. You know, I was working again part-time. He miraculously got a job in the same field. And I asked him, I said, "Are you sure that's a good idea? I don't think you should." He's an accountant, and he was a controller and a CFO of a company. That is his background. And he said, "It's the only thing I can do. I have to support my family, and it's the only thing. A man with an MBA, it's the only thing he can do. Nothing else." And I believed him because I still had that trust. And so years went by, and we got a camper. We did camping. The kids were in sports and gymnastics and 4-H and Girl Scouts, and Mike was the coach of every sport activity that our daughter wanted to be involved in, and 4-H for Tyler, and we were normal. I'm like, this is wonderful. We are normal. I was feeling not so normal again, but now things are good. And the spring of 2006, our beautiful little miracle Brady was born, our little guy here. And it was wonderful. He's been such a blessing to me and to us. But I noticed things in Mike. Things were creeping up. that I wanted to not recognize, and I recognized them, and I pushed them away. Some of the same signs and symptoms of that addict coming back. Some of the kids started saying, "We don't like Mr. Huff. I wish he wouldn't come to our house anymore, Dad. I don't like when Mr. Huff yells at us. Why is he here? Why are you letting Mr. Huff come back?" I mean, these are all things that the kids would say. I mean, he would just yell at them, particularly our son, which is one thing you can't do with Tyler, is to yell at him and put pressure on him, and he was doing things that he never should have done with him. And but when Brady came along, things seemed to be good, although I noticed something in the hospital. He was very distant. He had to get to the room where they had the internet connection because he had to get online. He had to work. I said, "That doesn't make any sense. You've never had to work like that before." "Oh, I have to." Then he started talking about trading a little bit more, like, "Oh, I almost made a lot of money today." And he told me, "I don't have to worry about it because it's my hobby. Everybody's got a hobby, don't they? This is mine." And I believed him. Like, we don't have a ton of money, so I know he's not gambling, because I've even asked him about it. And he's like, "I would never put you through that hell again. I would never do that to my family that I love." And I knew he wouldn't, because I knew his children mean more to him than anything. And I know I do too, because on top of being a great dad, he's a wonderful husband and has always been so kind and good to me. Except when Mr. Huff came out, he would yell, but other than that, you know, the Mike that I love is a great guy. So I knew he would never do that. But then I started seeing things that were just way too familiar, behaviors and actions, and the kids, our house was like the eggshell house again. We were walking around on eggshells, and the winter of 2008, he said, you know, he was like caged animal at home half the time, and the company he worked for, a mortgage company, was doing poorly, and it looks like they were going to go bankrupt and they were going to close. And so I thought, well, he's worried because he may have a hard time getting a job because of his background, and he's worried. And then I started worrying, like, why else is he worried? So I asked him, and he's like, "Get off my back. You have nothing to worry about. There's nothing." So the company did close. He did lose his job. They actually consolidated to another company. He lost his job along with a couple of other people, but he got another job right away. Not paying as much, but it was another job. And the behaviors were getting worse. He was just, like, at home, he was, like, this crazed animal, like something was about to give, and I knew it, I could feel it, and I didn't know what it was. And I had gone back to work because financially I knew I had to. I had stayed home once Brady was born with Mike's insistence, but back at work full time so I could have benefits and I could help support us. And summer's coming along the track, and the kids are getting ready for summer vacation, and my daughter wants a sleepover on the first day of summer vacation like she always does and always has had at our home. And for some reason, even though Mike was going to be there and my mom would have been there, I just said, no, not this year. And so another girl had it, and thank God, because I'm at work on the first day of summer vacation, and our son calls me and says, "Hey, Mom, guess what just happened? The police just came and arrested Dad." It was probably the worst day of my life, almost, because I'm driving home frantic, like, oh my God, deja vu. It's all coming back. I dealt with that once. I don't know how I did it. I can never do it again. Now I have three children that are my responsibility. What am I going to do? So I get home. Of course, he's gone. My 14-year-old at the time is running around the house. I cleaned it up the best I could, Mom. I cleaned it up. Tyler, who has Asperger's, is cleaning it up so that I didn't have to see the mess that they did when they searched our home again. My mom was there with our 2-year-old. And my daughter's calling me on the phone saying, "Hey, Mom, where's Dad? He was supposed to pick me up an hour and a half ago." I had to go pick her up. I had no idea how I was going to do that. what I was going to say to her, that her dad had been arrested. The man that she has on a pedestal higher than anybody, the dad who's always taken her to father and daughter dances and would do anything for her. Her friends always wanted to be at our house because she had the nicest parents, the coolest dad ever. How was I going to tell her that her dad got arrested and is in jail? And I did, and it was horrible. My mom took the kids to her house that day because I couldn't function. I didn't know what to do. I was the caged animal running around my house. I didn't know what to do. I called the lawyer. I'm like, he couldn't be very much. He wouldn't do this again. We find out he calls me later that day with an estimated amount, and I about had a stroke. I mean, I couldn't even believe it because we lived so frugal. I mean, we had no extra money. We lived so frugal, I couldn't even imagine. So, again, you know, his dad bailed him out of jail. He came home that weekend. It was Father's Day, so he did get home for Father's Day, and it was horrible. This is June. I watched him every minute because I was so afraid for him. I was angry with him. I hated him. I couldn't even believe he had done this. But in the same note, it was then and there that I knew that it wasn't Mike that was doing this. There was something. And I knew right then and there it was the day trading. It was this trading. It was the gambling. And I knew it. And I talked to him about it. And he says, I can't help it. I can't even believe I did that, that I took that amount of money. I can't believe I would do that to my kids and to you. And I don't know what to say. I'm worth more dead than alive. So at that moment, I knew that he was suicidal. And so this was June 20th, which was our 21st wedding anniversary. And he's contemplating suicide, and I knew that. So I was with him every minute. I called counselors, and I interviewed three, and I picked one who was supposed to be good at gambling, addictions. And I made him go, and that was the day that it was publicized, so it was in all the papers, it was in the news, and his job read the paper, and they fired him. So he was fired, he was publicly humiliated, and it was our wedding anniversary, and mom and wife is taking him to shrink because he's suicidal. So I make him go to this man, and that was a horrible thing because that man was horrible. He shouldn't have a license. He sat across from Mike and I after hearing our story, and Mike was basically in shock. He sat there, stoic. He was just in shock because of everything that had happened over the couple of weeks. And this man basically told him he was a sociopath, he belonged in prison, he ruined his children's lives, he destroyed them. He didn't only ruin them, he destroyed them, he destroyed them, he destroyed them. And I sat there dumbfounded, not knowing what to say or do. And we left there. And I had to drive Mike home, and I had to babysit him because I knew he was going to kill himself. I walked the yard with him. He was up all night. I had to work, but I followed him around all night long. My mom came over during the day. We kept close tabs on him. If he wanted to go somewhere, one of the kids would go with him in the car. They didn't know why, but we just said Dad needed company because he's feeling sad. And so now it's July, and we talked about he needs help. And he knew he did, but he didn't know what to do. So when I was at work one day, he looked up the GA and the Gamina and the groups, and he found the two that were in our area, and he said, well, it's Monday, there's one in Egan, I'm going to go. And I said, I'll go with you. And so that was the first, July of 2008 was our first GA meeting, and we walked in feeling like our lives were over, like we were at the bottom of the barrel, because things were so terrible. At this point, we had no money to pay our mortgage, so we knew for sure we would lose our home to bankruptcy. I'd probably have to move in with his parents, which was not very appealing to me. And as small as it sounds, we have a dog, and they would not take the dog, so we were going to have to get rid of the kid's best friend. And on top of our everything else, those were the things that sat with me. Plus, we knew we would be losing our husband and our dad. So we walked into that meeting, and there were angels in that meeting. Jerry, who's here, was the first one that met us at the door and welcoming us and treated us like we were normal and like we belonged. And there was a pinning going on that day, so we came for the meeting, but there was laughter going on, and I couldn't get it. Like, what are people laughing about? My life is over here, and people are smiling and laughing and eating, something I haven't been able to do any of for the last 2 weeks. And there was camaraderie, and there was hope. And we sat there and listened, and Mike went to the one's first step. And there I met another angel, Lisa. She's here, too. And she sat and listened to me. And after leaving that meeting, I felt like we had hope. And we decided we would go to Friday night, and we went to Mondays and Fridays that summer. And Mike, he went always. I went when I could, but I went to Monday nights because they were my savior. And Granite Falls came up, and he couldn't do it. I'm not going to leave because I need to be with the kids as much as I can. And his attorney said, you have to do it. And I said, you have to do this. And everybody's saying you have to, and he's like, no, I can't. So I knew that we couldn't force him, because if you do that, it's not going to do any good. So I let it go. And so in September, late in September, I came home from work one day, and he said, I'm going to do it. I'm going on Wednesday. I made all the arrangements. I got financial aid. I'm going for 30 days inpatient, because I can't do this without it. So he went, and we participated in all the family therapy, and we did everything we could do for him. I'm not saying I wasn't mad at him, because I was mad at hell, quite honestly. I mean, I was so angry that he could do this to me and my kids. But on the other hand, I've been learning so much. I was reading a lot and learning so much from going to GA and Gammonon that I really started understanding the addiction, and that it was the addict. It wasn't my Mike that was taking this money and purposely hurting his family. On top of, you know, everything, you know, our personal finances were completely destroyed too, every account. When the police came and all that kind of happened, they took our money. So we had zero in every account, any account we had and everything. So we were destitute. We had nothing. And so when he was in Granite Falls, he started acting and talking and being serene. I mean, it's like he had this serene peace of within himself that I have not seen for years with Mike. And the first time we visited him, he had a mustache, and he didn't when we got there. And he said, his daughter said, Kayla's like, where's your mustache, Daddy? And he said, when I looked in the mirror, I didn't like who was looking back. And I had to change that. And so when he came home from Granite Falls, I still didn't know, am I going to stay with him? I don't think I can. I mean, the trust, the, you know, the stealing, that's just so beyond everything I believe in. And I thought he did too. I mean, we just raise our children to be honest and all these things that you do as parents, and he just goes ahead and blows that because he does all the things that children know that they don't do because they've learned that from their parents. And when he came home from Granite Falls, I knew just right then and there that I was going to stand behind him, and I was going to support him, and I was going to speak on behalf of him, and I was going to do everything I can to help him and our family, because he would do the same thing for me. If I had cancer, if I was a drink, he would never turn his back on me. So I'm not turning my back on him. So our family life was much more serene. I can't say it was perfect, but it was better than it's been in a long time. And when he came home, he said, I want to do something. I want everybody, me and the two kids, to write down what you didn't like about Mr. Huff. And we're going to go out in the backyard, and we have a little pet cemetery out there with our little hamsters and guinea pigs in it. And we're gonna bury Mr. Huff and say goodbye to him forever. And so we had our little ceremony, the kids, and I wrote down what they wrote because it breaks my heart. Tyler said, I don't like when you get all puffy and huffy, yell at us. I don't even know what you're yelling at me about. It's so bad when you get so mad and you make me scared. And Kayla said, you scare me. When you yell, you might be nice, and then you go so crazy. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know if I do anything wrong. Having you when you're home and you're happy, that's what I like. And I wrote that I don't like Mr. Huff because he stole my husband and my partner and my best friend, and I want him to go away and send my mic back. And so we buried Mr. Huff that day, and we really never seen him. Despite all of the stress and pressures that we were all experiencing with the upcoming sentencing hearing, I felt like I was planning for his funeral because we were doing house walkthroughs and financial walkthroughs, and the last Christmas and the last birthday for each child that he would be at. And yet he's getting healthier and healthier, and he's appearing happier and happier. God works in mysterious ways. Mike had a couple of jobs. One ended up turning into a teaching position at the university, which I always knew was his aspirations, and he's got a gift with people. For those of you that know him, know what kind of person he is. One of the nicest people you'll ever know. And forgiving and makes you feel like you belong. And so as we planned, things got closer and closer to his sentencing. It just was really hard because we knew we tried to do fun things with the kids, and we knew this would be the last time, and that would be the last time. And then his sentencing date came, and it was July 2nd, so it's been 3 months as of yesterday. And many of our GA and Gammonon friends were there to support us. Thank God for that. And I spoke on his behalf, hoping that the judge would just see that it's the addict, and that he's working really hard, and he has these three kids that need him so much. Tyler, he is the intricate part of that boy's existence. I mean, he needs consistency, and Mike has always been consistent with him, and he's always been that person that Tyler could count on. He knew there was two people in the world that believed in him and loved him more than anything and knew that he could be great and do anything he wanted, and that was his mom and his dad. Kayla, being 12, so needy of her dad and loves her dad so much. And then there's Brady, who is 3 and slept every night between Mike and I, but with Mike. Every night, every morning we'd wake up and he would have his little arms wrapped around Mike, holding Mike's hand. Mike would be holding him. Mike was his primary caregiver during the day, so he was with him all the time. He wanted him more than he wanted me. And again, he was a phenomenal dad, better than ever, because it was really Daddy and not Mr. Huff. So July 2nd came, and Mike was sentenced to 8.5 years in prison. And the judge basically told us that he's a good guy who did a bad thing, and we're going to make an example out of you, because white-collar crime won't be tolerated in this county. So you're a good fella, but we'll see you later. And when they put those handcuffs on him and took him away, that was the hardest moment of my life, because my life has completely changed. When we left that morning, It was like we were going to a funeral. I wore black and he wore his funeral suit because that's what it felt like we were doing. The kids got up and he said his goodbyes to them. And Kayla cried and cried and wouldn't let him go because she knew he wasn't coming home. And Tyler didn't want to come down because he was really mad at him. So I made him come down, and he did. And Mike said, take care of your mom because you're the man of the house. And that sounds kind of silly, you know, when you hear it in the movies and everything. But I couldn't stand it. And he wanted to wake Brady up, and I wouldn't let him because it would be hard for my mom to get him back to sleep. And I regret that because he didn't wake him up. And he won't see Brady at home until he's over 9 years old now. So that day that he was sentenced, it took me a long time to get home because I didn't know how I was going to do it. How was I going to tell the kids? We'd been preparing the children, they knew. But his attorney was very hopeful, and he thought it was going to be a year or so. And he said, and if it's a little over a year, then that's because they want him to go to prison and teach him a lesson. We did not prepare the children for not having their dad for the rest of their childhood. Tyler will be over 20 years old when Mike comes home. Kayla will be 18 and Brady will be 9 and a half. That's if he gets early parole. So that day it was horrible because I came home and I sat the two older kids down. And Kayla went hysterical. She lost it. She ran and hid in her room and barricaded herself and hid in her closet for the rest of the afternoon because she needed her dad. And she had no idea how she was going to go on without her dad. And Tyler just said, well, I guess when you steal money, that makes the judge really mad, and I guess that's what happens. And I said, yeah. I guess you're right. So don't ever steal any money, please. So my mom took the kids to her house that day because I, again, was in shock. My Gammonon friends were there. My friends were there. I couldn't go in the house. That night, I sat in the garage. My neighbors came over. Gave me wine, trying to make me relax. And I couldn't go in the house because he should be there. And I don't even remember when I finally did go in the house, but Tyler and Kayla ended up going in because they wanted to see if he was on the news, because somebody had called and said he was on the news. And that was a horrible day. And night, because I didn't sleep, and the next day was just as bad. I sat in the garage, and a neighbor came and took the kids to try to do something, and Kayla wouldn't go. She was in her room. She couldn't face people. My girlfriends came over. She wanted him to go away because she couldn't deal with anybody. People were bringing food. It was like a death. It was like we'd had a funeral. People were bringing food and flowers and all of those things. And the kids wanted them to go away because we're really not normal now. And it's just really tough. So time kind of went on, and I decided that, you know, well, first of all, it's 4th of July, and 4th of July is kind of a big deal to us. Our son was going to march in the high school marching band for the first time. So I was super happy about that. But on the same note, I sat there and I cried my eyes out when he came by because his dad should have been there for that. Tyler's been talking about marching in the marching band since he was 2 years old and could talk. He loved the marching band, and his dad wasn't there. We went to the county jail the next day to see him. And it was horrible because Mike was very depressed and he looked horrible. And A few days later, he got sent to St. Cloud, where things improved for him. And we were able to get on with our lives just a little bit. We got into a routine where we were, doing kind of a normal routine. I made Monday Night Gammonon part of that routine because it's my saving grace to see my GA and my Gammonon friends, because when you go there, there is no judgment. There is nobody looking at you like, oh my God, you poor thing. I cannot tell you the number of times that people have basically said that to me, and it just upsets me because I don't want to be a poor thing. I want to be a good role model for my children, and I want to stand up, and I don't want them to feel like they need to be ashamed of this. And so I'm teaching them to stand up and hold their heads up high and not be ashamed of your dad. And what he's done is not good, but he's standing up to his responsibilities, and he's getting healthy, and they've seen him get healthy. And they liked what they were seeing. So the relationships that we have now with Mike is prison visits, and he can hug for 15 seconds, and then we have to sit across from him. And he can hold Brady on his lap, but Brady, when we were visiting him in St. Cloud, Brady just felt like, well, Daddy lives in a castle now. So we go to the castle, and we see Daddy. And so it's okay. And he comes home, and he builds Daddy's house with blocks. And we had a man come over fixing our toilet, and my mom said, he said to the man, do you like my castle? That's where my daddy lives. So, we'll see how long we can pull that one off. But, so we are trying very hard to make this as normal as we can for the kids. And we didn't lose our home by some grace of God. I was able to get a promotion at work, and I can, by the skin of my teeth, I can stay there for now. So I'm not sure what 5 years will bring, but the kids are stable in their home, and we've got some kind of normalcy back. Mike has since been moved. As of Tuesday, he's moved to a different facility, which is close to the South Dakota border, which I don't know how often we'll be able to get there now because it's very far away. Phone calls are very costly once again, so I'm not sure how we're going to manage that, but we will. But I have to say that the GA Gammonon program has been my saving grace, and learning to follow my own program and to have faith in my higher power is what's gotten me through. It's what's going to get Mike through, and it's going to sustain our marriage and our family until he can come home to us and his family. So that's our story.